good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Cotton Cuff, hit me, cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hello, everybody out there. This is Tuesday, and it's Rock the Vote Native Style, and, you know, making voting a tradition here on Native Roots Radio. We're going to lead off here right away. Oh, Nancy's got the same poster as I do. What the? And the same shirt. What the heck?
Mine isn't up yet, but I also have the same poster, but I'm missing out on the t-shirt, guys.
Oh, I got an extra one at Topic that might fit.
I got a hoodie. Hey, it's Nancy Boley of Bemidji 350. Let's talk. I know you got to get going here soon, and we got a jam-packed show. We're just lucky to have you on. Ready, set, go. Nancy of Bemidji 350 and MN 350.
Bonjour for our listeners out there. I'm from Leech Lake here in northern Minnesota. I'm the northern organizer for Minnesota 350, and I also work the MN 350 Action, which is our political leg. And just on Saturday, we had a nice block party here in Bemidji, and I want to give a big shout out to Indian Collective, to Indigenous Environmental Network, Red Lake, Leech Lake, and White Earth, and you know, just people that really give us the junia, the money to make this kind of work happen, because, you know, we couldn't create spaces like that. And I think, you know, it was a really powerful space. Most importantly, not just about getting people registered to vote, but our treaty win and what that means, you know, to our relatives far and wide. Because again, you know, I want to remind our listeners on June 29th, 2021, I was one of three Anishinaabe water protectors that won our treaty case here in northern Minnesota, reminding the state that they lack subject matter jurisdiction over the Anishinaabe, protecting our natural resources on or off the reservation. So part of that gathering, you know, at the block party wasn't just to get people out to vote. It was to inform the candidates that were in attendance that we exist, we're still here, and those treaty, they matter. All treaties matter. We matter. Our lives matter. So what we know from the past is a lot of the times after Election Day, they soon, again, forget about us. So the idea here coming out of the block party is to build people power, our power, and flex a little of our sovereignty in a good way. So, again, we're teaching our relatives how to show up in spaces, city council meetings, Beltrami County Commissioner Board meetings, because more often than not, we think that, you know, voting is just for voting for the president. But honestly, local elections have a more direct impact on our daily lives. And so I think it's important that our people, our relatives, and, you know, even our allies that don't understand the political system, how it works, and how do we engage to be a part of the dialogue and the decision matter locally. So, again, our work is just beginning, Robert, and November 8th is coming quick, just 2 more weeks from today, I believe. November 8th will be here. And we really need to encourage our relatives to get out and vote because, again, you know, there's a lot of issues at stake, the Indian Child Welfare Act, abortion, working families. And if we're not at the table, we're literally being what's served. And we know that, you know, as much as I'd like to take a partisan approach to my work, it's been out there long enough now to know that there's some divisiveness in the world of politics. And again, you know, these Republicans are not on our side, and we know that from the block party. We invited them to be fair, and not one showed up. So that was a huge statement to us to say, you know what, if we're not out there voting, you know, align with our values and our future, you know, we're going to be sitting ducks, and this is not good for us. So I think, you know, why I try to work so hard and show up in space, especially like today on my days off from the radio show, I think it's really important to take this as an opportunity to remind people why we need to show up on November 8th and before, Robert.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we as Native Americans, I'm speaking specifically to our Native American brothers and sisters and aunties and uncles, we have been able to vote less than 100 years. And so we need to join in, like you say, we need to be part of the system or we are going to be left out. And I think in the past cycle, we were able to get some strength here. And I think young ones and the women are really angry, Nancy, and that's right. A good thing for us.
Right. And, you know, I can't stress it enough. We have to learn how to play this game and play it better. And we've seen this coming out of the last cycle, moving into this one. We have some of those awesome candidates that won their last election. And some of them are our relatives, of course, allies, but they're running for re-election. So again, they're asking for our support. And what we know, you know, there's others stepping it up because they're tired of us not being heard. So I want to give a perfect example. You know, Alan Roy, Erica Bailey Johnson, these are just, you know, normally our people here in Indian country that, you know, go to a 9-to-5 job and, or maybe, you know, volunteer in different ways. But what I really think matters the most to us is that they are giving much of their free time, what little they have, to do this kind of work and be our voice. And, you know, that's what inspires me, is that we are learning how to play this game and we are getting better at it. But we also need the support of the voters to say, hey, I'm going to step outside of my comfort zone and I'm going to vote in the midterms and know that if I show up and all my relatives show up, we're going to win, Robert.
Exactly. Hey, you know, one of the things I hear constantly when we talk to our political friends is to make a plan. You know, I think Wendy and I are going to go vote Friday and we'll be available to help other people go vote, whether it's drive them and pick them up. But also check your registration because there's hanky panky going on and make sure you're still registered, right?
Right. And I think that's important. You know, you don't want to find these things out last minute. So there is absentee voting going on right now. So that gives you a window of opportunity to, one, research your candidates, find out if you're registered. If not, how do you get registered and where do you get registered? So I encourage people to take this time because, again, we have to show up. I cannot stress it. I seen the polls yesterday, and you know, a lot of these big races are really close, and you know, I'm gonna hope that most of these polls that are coming out are not reflecting Indian country, because you know what, if we do our work, we can just throw those polls out the window and say, you know what, we have the power, and the only way we're gonna get that power, Robert, is if we vote and we be a part of the process after November 8th, because that's really important. And that's what I take away from this work and the last time we done this, Robert, that we really need to engage ourselves and be a part of, you know, those policies and those legislations that people like Pete Stauber, you know, yeah. He's a Republican. He's not on our side. And I'm a bit worried, but I'm not going to be worried. I'm going to have faith in our people that they show up and help each other get to the polls. And so, again, you know, if anybody listening today, you know, needs help getting to the polls or doesn't understand, throw it in the chat. And I hope, Ogama, I have to leave because I have a date with my mother tonight. But capture their information, and we want to be sure to help them, you know, because sometimes people might leave the radio show tonight, get busy with life and forget, you know, that voting is right around the corner. So if you're in doubt about how to vote or you just need extra support, please share your information in the chat and we'll find you in a good way.
Yeah. Oh, hey.
Yes, we'll find you and make sure you vote. No, I'm just teasing. But for real, call your aunties. Call your Auntie Nancy. Reach out to me, Ogama, or Robert. We can definitely get you connected to Nancy and make sure that you have the tools that you need to exercise your right to vote. It's really important. And Miigwech, Nancy, for taking a little time to spend with us away from your mom. It's wonderful. Yeah, always to see you.
Hey, go ahead. Go ahead.
And I just say really quick, you know, part of this political process is those candidates and are those elected officials once they get sworn in. And that's what we took away from Saturday, was engaging with these candidates. And you know what? To me, they're not just candidates any more of their allies, and we're going to move our good work forward, win or not win those elections. We're going to keep showing.
Right on, Nancy. Pinigigi, hey, this is Portions brought to you by Rock the Vote, Native Style, and Making Voting a Tradition. We'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us. Thank you, Nance.
Hey, Olgama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
As we head towards colder weather, it's important to make sure you're up to date on vaccinations and protected from COVID-19. The Native American Community Clinic is now administering the updated Pfizer bivalent booster. The updated bivalent booster helps protect against the original COVID-19 strain and against newer Omicron variants. And it will help restore protection that has decreased since previous vaccinations. People age 5 and older are now recommended to get an updated bivalent booster dose at least 2 months after their last COVID-19 shot. That means the bivalent booster may be given after a person's primary series or after their last booster shot, regardless of what brand you received before. Even if you've already had COVID-19, you should get vaccinated. Right now, at the Native American Community Clinic, you can get COVID-19 vaccines, including updated boosters, at the same visit as other vaccines. However, if you've received a recent monkeypox vaccine, you may need to wait 4 weeks before you can get a COVID-19 vaccine, and you should discuss this with your provider. Schedule your vaccination appointment with the Native American Community Clinic by calling 612-872-8086.
If the statistics say that 1 in 3 Native women and 1 in 6 Native men have experienced sexual assault in their lifetime, it means our whole community is affected by sexual violence. 1 is too many. Don't stand by. Stand up. Don't engage in acts of sexual violence and shut down the dirty jokes, the gossip, the victim blaming and shaming. As a community, we can change the way we respond. Contact the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition to attend a workshop to learn more.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, let's make voting a tradition there, Ogama.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you have not yet made your plan to vote, we want you to go over to makevotingatradition.org. Make Voting a Tradition is a program set up by the Native American Community Development Institute, or NACDI. And it really helps to bridge those gaps between generations and to encourage our relatives to exercise their right to vote. You can make a pledge to vote on makevotingatradition.org. I know I went in and made my pledge to vote because I have a mail-in ballot that's been sitting here on my table for the last week and a half. And I need to take the time to get it filled out. So I did make that pledge. And I know it sounds really silly, everybody, but it really is motivating me to make sure that I get it done. And making a pledge is not like making – it's not like signing a treaty. So, like, nobody's going to come find you if you don't show up and vote. But we definitely all need to get out and vote. Right, Robert?
Right on. And hey, this is a Native Roots Radio Presents Rock the Vote Native Style and Making a Voting a Tradition. And yesterday in Madison, Wisconsin, one of the leaders of one of the tribes in Wisconsin spoke at a Four Directions town hall that was all over the country. And we have had Shannon on the show a few times, and I want to I want to play this clip of her pleading in a good way to get out the vote. So, Ogama, I think, will you be able to play that clip?
I sure will. Let's roll.
All right.
Lamasi, good morning. My name is Shannon Holsey, and I serve as the president of my tribal nation, the Stockbridge Munsee Band of Mohican Indians here in Wisconsin. Although Wisconsin is not our original ceded territory, we come from the east in New York. I would also like to acknowledge this morning our presence here in Madison, Wisconsin, or the homeland de jope of the Ho-Chunk Nation. Wisconsin is made up of 11 federally recognized tribes and 1 state recognized tribes. And so we all know that this year is critically important in terms of exercising our democracy and being able to do something that our ancestors just less than a short 100 years ago were able to do in the state of Wisconsin. I think you would all agree that voting is the heart of democracy, and as long as people are given the chance to vote and to choose their representations and their stance on social and political issues, then democracy is working. That is why it is so critically important to ensure that eligible voters are registered and will exercise their right of suffrage, because if not, it defeats the purpose of democracy. In Wisconsin, you are still able to, we are 2 short weeks away from a national election, and you are still able to show up to the polls on the day of voting and register. So I would encourage all of you to make sure that you can go to wisconsinvote.gov and check to make sure you are registered or that you update your registration, your voting registration, but please make sure that you exercise that democracy. You know, when we look at democracy and how people can exercise that democracy, it is not a noun, it's actually an actionable adjective, and it requires all of us. You know, it's like giving a hungry person bread but sealed in a steel box. And when a society that makes voting hard for people, it's a pretentious democratic society. And diverse representation matters. We all know that the world is extremely diverse. 51% of all people in the United States consist of women of vast backgrounds. And here in Wisconsin, the minority is now the majority, especially like my nation and others. We have diverse backgrounds of different cultures, languages, and traditions. But it's extremely important as U.S. citizens we show up and we vote. You know, I believe that diverse representation really does matter, and I believe this is going to be one of the most critical times in our lifetime. Longstanding, the systematic barriers that underpin differences in our very diverse communities. And so I would say this, if there is any hope of altering the future, it will be only when we can understand our birthright and articulate its reclamation. And when we look around and we see all of us instead of some of us, and when we begin to question the inequality, and when we are appalled by the reality of a specific ruling class that denies us just that same equality, but universal freedoms, we have the ability for all human beings to live free, equal, housed, nourished, and access to basic needs like affordable housing, health care, and proper education for our children. You know, it was once said that the oppressor would not be so strong if he did not have the accomplices among the oppressed. And really, especially in Native American communities, we all know that that means that we all have to show up and we have to exercise our democratic process of voting, which is sacred and something that our ancestors have fought so diligently for us to have. You know, so it is a, you know, Native American voters, and we, you know, we've proven this in the last national election, and communities of color now make up a vital part of our demographic forces, reshaping American politics and discourse in key areas. Democracy is about what voting can deliver. United like never before, we rise together arm in arm to equip all Indigenous peoples and our communities of color in an environment of inclusion with the tools that we all need to become architects of our own futures. Through a holistic approach of advocacy, movement building, and fostering a world of justice and equality for all people and the planet. And at the end of this week, thousands of partners in every state across the nation will come together to celebrate our democracy, lift up voters, and change the culture of voting in America. And you certainly don't want to miss out. Tomorrow in Madison starts the early voting. And please, again, I urge you all to go and check and make sure you're registered. And if not, make sure that you exercise your democracy and show up to vote. Anishik.
Yeah, wow. Awesome. That was Shannon Housley, president of
the Stockbridge Muncie Band of Mohican Indians in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Sorry, I took the banner down before Robert had a chance to read it. But those were some powerful, powerful words. What a wonderful speaker. And the tribe is lucky to have her as a leader.
Exactly. Hey, Ogumai, do you think we have time to play that young Ho-Chunk warrior, her little interview that you had up in the deep north this weekend?
Sure do. I will play a video. We have Jay White Rabbit of the Ho-Chunk Nation.
Ho-wah.
All right, so I'm here on the shores of Lake Bemidji with this wonderful, wonderful Quay, this lady here who's kindly agreed to interview with me for Native Roots Radio. Go ahead and tell everybody your name.
My name is Jay White Rabbit. I'm a member of the Ho-Chunk Nation.
And Jay, what is it that you're here doing today? You're tabling for the Walls Flanagan Administration.
Yeah, I work for the DFL. I'm the Indigenous Communities Engagement Director. So I just make sure that Indigenous people are engaged in voting and making sure they know why it's important and making sure their voices are heard.
Wonderful. How'd you get involved with this work, Jay?
So I was at a conference with my mom in California, and the lieutenant governor was like, what are you doing after school? And I was like, nothing. I think I'm going to be a semi truck driver. And she's like, no, you're going to come work on my campaign. And so I got hired a week later and just been doing that.
And how long have you been doing this?
I started in May. My first day was at the DFL convention, so it was pretty crazy.
What do you think so far about politics?
I think they're crazy. I didn't realize how important it was until I'm in the thick of it. And it's kind of scary how much is at stake in this election. I think it's one of the most important elections in our time since Trump was elected. It changed a lot of things.
What do you think as a young person being involved in politics, a young Native person?
So I think being involved in politics now, making sure that Natives are getting out to vote and making sure their voices is heard. Since the Trump presidency, he changed the landscape of politics. People are running unqualified candidates, and it's really important that we get good, solid, smart people in office. So these decisions that are being made for us are made by competent people who will listen to people who they're representing. So I think it's crazy how much he changed things, and Walz's opponent, Scott Jensen, is nuts and doesn't have the best interests for Indigenous people, and he's going to do a lot of damage.
And what do you want to tell other young Native people as they're coming up to the polls, or what do you want to tell them about voting?
I think that there have been a lot of candidates that, again, don't have the Native interests at the forefront, but I know that the Walz administration has done a really good job of making sure that the Indigenous people's voices are being heard. They're endorsed by all the tribal candidates, or all the tribal... all tribes in Minnesota, everyone who endorses them can endorse them. So I think that it's important to realize that. And Native people, Native young people, your voices are being listened to and they are being heard. But make sure that you are going to the polls and getting your voice out there.
As a young Native person, what's something that you want other young Native voters to hear?
I think your voice is being heard, and it's important to be at the table and to be in the building, be in the building and if not at the table where decisions are being made. So having like the highest elected Indigenous woman in the country as our lieutenant governor is nuts to me, and like she's awesome. She's obviously a really good Indigenous person. But I think vote for Indigenous people, run out and vote, be in a freaking candidate. Go be at the table, I don't know, make decisions.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, McGwich, thank you so much for interviewing with me, and we'll touch base later.
All right, awesome job. Hey, that's sincere. Get out and frickin' vote is what she said. Ho-wa! Hey, you're listening to Rock the Vote Native Style here on Native Roots Radio on the Civic Media Network. We'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us. Heather Keeler's coming up.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Hi, this is Robert Pilot here telling you about Minnesota Native American art. Did you know that Twin Cities is known for Native art? Well, if you're not familiar, then check out All My Relations Arts. It's a program that seeks to increase the visibility and value of these incredibly talented American Indian artists in all forms of art while honoring the history and the presence of indigenous cultures. And right now, All My Relations Arts is showcasing Rosie Seamus Dance, She Who Lives on the Road to War. This is an immersive installation dance performance created by Rosie Seamus in response to global loss and the collective need to come together in peace and reconciliation. She Who Lives on the Road to War is a place for visitors to rest, grieve, console, and meditate. Performances will take place through mid-December. Find the performance schedule at allmyrelationsarts.com. I love all the indigenous art here in the Twin Cities, and I hope you can enjoy it too. allmyrelationsarts.com.
Hi, this is Chad from AM950. Snap Construction is arguably the most well-reviewed roofing, siding, window, and insulation contractor in the metro. Ryan is so excited about working with AM950 and our listeners that he wants to help us grow.
This is Ryan, owner of Snap Construction. I was friends with Chad long before I started marketing with him. I was a bit skeptical of radio advertising before Chad convinced us to run ads. The advertising's been so successful, we want to help the station grow. We've absolutely loved working with the listeners of AM950, and we all know how extremely important this radio station is to the community. To help AM950 grow, Snap Construction will be putting up proceeds to assist the station in marketing on social media. Snap Construction encourages you to follow, engage, share, and interact on the AM950 social media platforms. Together, we can all work to ensure AM950 continues to thrive and grow in our communities. We stand by our work with a lifetime craftsmanship guarantee. For a free estimate or more information on our financing, call 612-333-SNAP or check us out online.
Hi, Minnesota. This is David Pakman, and you can catch my show weekdays at 2 p.m. for the latest in political news on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Don't be surprised if you hear your name when you walk into St. Paul Corner Drug. Our experienced staff make getting to know you their top priority. Developing a trusting relationship with our patients is the first step in providing personalized care that achieves the best outcomes possible. Make certain all your providers know who you are and what your needs are. It is a vital step in your well-being. Stop by St. Paul Corner Drug today to start a relationship with a staff that cares. St. Paul Corner Drug, pharmacy the way it should be.
With a look at your AM 950 weather, I'm Patrick Lulia. Clear tonight with a low of 35, then sunshine on Wednesday with a high of 51. There's no better time than now to experience the new Maggie's Lounge at Crooner's Supper Club. Serving up light fare and cocktails, no concert ticket is required. Crooner's Supper Club, just north of 694 off Highway 65 in Fridley. Croonersmn.com.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1. U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, it's Tuesday, and it's Rock the Vote Native Style, along with Make Voting a Tradition. And Ogama, you were up this weekend at the event Nancy was talking about. I wonder if you could just fill us in a little more and who's up next.
Yeah, absolutely. So this past Saturday in Bemidji, Minnesota was a Get Out the Vote block party, and they had a really killer lineup. They had Maria Issa, Thomas X, and many of the Northern Minnesota candidates came out to talk with constituents about treaty rights and get to know the Native constituents that they have in their area. For those of you who might not be familiar with Bemidji, Minnesota, Bemidji is in northwestern Minnesota, and it is basically triangulated by three different reservations, the Red Lake Nation, the Leech Lake Nation, and the White Earth Nation, all kind of circle a little near to Bemidji. And it is an interesting dichotomy that you see in Bemidji between Native and non-Native, or BIPOC and non-BIPOC constituents there. they had a really, really great turnout with candidates. Everything from school board to sheriff candidates showed up, all the way up to representative and senator seat candidates came. So there was a lot of people that were excited to meet those candidates, a lot of people that were there networking. MN350 was there and they were tabling, and I was finally able to get one of those awesome posters like Robert has behind him. Native power can't be tamed, and it's true. Really, so I was able to interview with a candidate for Senate District 2 in northern Minnesota, Alan Roy, and his wife, Henny. So I wanted to just take some time to go for that interview now, Robert.
Yeah. And now. And now.
All right. I'm Ogumugunuakwe, and we're here at the Treaty People Block Party on the shores of Lake Bemidji up in northern Minnesota. And I'm here with candidate for Senate District 2 in Minnesota, Alan Roy, and his wife, Henny. Welcome, and thank you so much for interviewing with us. How has this year's campaign season treated you guys?
It's been a fantastic season. We've been knocking on doors. We've been meeting with voters. We've been sending out mail. And we've really, really been in the tribal communities here in northern Minnesota. Senate District 2 is redistricted to have White Earth Nation, Red Lake Nation, and now the Leech Lake Nation included. And we've been out in these tribal communities every day. And we were just up there earlier today. My wife actually does door knocking too.
58 doors.
58 doors is a lot in one day.
By myself. Yep.
That's amazing.
Not
That's
even one day, from 11 until 3 o'clock.
That's amazing. I'm
and then
so excited
we
to hear that.
We came all the way from Red Lake down to Bemidji here so we can make it to this event.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome to hear. So with the redistricting, do you have concerns about being able to voice the cover the voices of so many different people in the different tribes?
No, not at all. I my commitment, and I'm on record saying this, even in my debate and even talking to Minnesota Public Radio and elsewhere and through my engagements with the tribal leadership, is that I will vote my district. I will make sure that the tribes have a seat at the table to make sure that all decisions are being made for everyone that lives here in Senate District 2, right? And that means that we need to make sure that our partners are at the table. And it requires clear and consistent coordination, consultation, and collaboration. And not just consultation. I want to draw a difference between that and those other two words I use there. Consultation is just basically saying, I talk to you, and that's it. I want to take it a step further. I want to sit down with the tribes and with tribal communities and make sure that we're having a discussion on the policy that we're talking about, the legislation that's being discussed, and so that we can pass things in a good way for everyone that lives here, not just a select few.
Absolutely. And how are you feeling about the upcoming election time? I mean, we're 15, 16 days from the election now. Is it really starting to get a little stressful coming down to the wire?
We've been well prepared.
Yes,
we've been well prepared.
We're excited, not stressed, but excited.
We're pretty well prepared. We've got crews of canvassers that are helping us and other candidates in the area. Everyone, I want to point this out, everyone that's working on my campaign actively, they're all tribal members, all right? I don't have many non-tribal folks that are working for the campaign, but we are always looking for volunteers. So if there are folks that are watching at home that want to help a native candidate in northern Minnesota, hey, contact us, let us know.
We could use your help.
That's right.
What do you both want to say to young people who maybe it's their first year voting? What would you tell them?
That's a good question. You know what? Go to the polls, vote your heart, follow what it tells you. If you don't know the candidates, look them up. Just get on the internet, on Google, or on Facebook. 99% of us have stuff out there. I have my own website as well. You guys check it out, www.alanroyforsenate.com, or on Facebook is Alan Roy for Senate, or on Twitter, Alan Roy for Minnesota Senate. Just check us out. I mean, and educate yourself, all right? educate yourself on the issues, educate yourself on the candidates, and vote your heart, figure out, you know, who's going to best represent your interests.
What about you, honey? What would you tell somebody who's voting this year?
Guess what? I just met two young voters today, and they are like 21 years old. I asked him, did you vote? No, I don't vote because they don't represent me. They say like, you know what? Your votes are matter to get new people that to hear your voices. I say like that. And then he was thinking, oh, you know what? I think I'm gonna register. That's good. You know?
That is,
I
mean, good.
Yeah, it's that personal connection. You know, people need to be connected. So that they know that their voice matters, you know. And sometimes it just takes a conversation like my wife had, and that's it.
That's wonderful. I convinced two young people to vote for Alan today.
Yes. That never voted before.
No, never voted. First-timer.
That's amazing.
First-timer, which is, I'm so happy, you know what I mean? And then he was looking at the TV. Look at the TV, Henny. All the... Look, you don't look at the TV. I said like that. Follow your heart. I said like, and then if you want to know about candidate who run, just go to their website or call him, talk with him. I said that. That's the only way, you know.
I agree. That's really good advice from you both. Yes. Thank you so much for taking the time to interview with us.
Sure.
And miigwetch to you both for all of your hard work for our people.
Thank you.
Wow. Hey. Excited. That's the first time I heard Alan's wife. They were rocking and rolling up there.
It seems like Henny Roy is pretty pivotal to Alan's campaign. And I think it's really important for our listeners to hear from the family of people who are running for office or people that already hold elected office. I had a chance to speak with somebody today named Charles Blacklands, who's on the school board in Brainerd, Minnesota. And he was talking about if you're considering running for office, you know, it's definitely something that your family should be on board with you for. And it's really inspiring to see how happy Henny is to work with Alan in his campaign.
You know, with my other job, Ogama, I'm going to be able to this weekend hang out with Obama. And I might have to wear a free Leonard button while I'm there and ask him to talk to his friend Biden about that. And it's exciting because he's going to be in town for a big rally for the guy going up against Johnson. Jeez, I mean, and Johnson, did you know that Ron Johnson was originally from Minnesota?
That I did not know, but if I do have any advice, see if you can get away with a free Leonard T-shirt or something for Obama.
Yeah, we'll see. There's a lot of heavy duty security, and you know I have a CD pass. So hopefully, I
button it under the blazer. Nobody's going to notice. I don't know. Wendy talks about your extensive T-shirt collection. Do you have a free Leonard T-shirt?
No, I don't, and I wanted to get one too, but I do have a button, so I'll wear my button.
A button's better than nothing, but I mean, to meet Obama, that would be very, very cool. Barack Obama, I believe, just to clarify, not Michelle Obama. Is that right, Robert?
And that's exactly right. And I just saw a video or a TikTok where Barack was at this gym that he was supporting what was going on there, and all the kids were asking where Michelle was. It was awesome.
That is awesome. Michelle Obama is also phenomenal. Say, people who are tuning in to listen to us right now, you're listening to Rock the Vote Native Style on Native Roots Radio. And I just want to remind you, if you have not yet, go to makevotingatradition.org and make your pledge to vote. There are 2 weeks, 14 days until the election, and you really need to make a plan to vote. If you want to vote early, you can generally go into your county seat office anywhere in Minnesota, show them your ID, make sure you're registered, and you can vote early if you're going to be available or going to be busy, or November 8th and waiting in line isn't really your dig, but some people really love to wait in line, so make your plan.
So, hey, Ogama, Obama's coming in town for Barnes and, Mandela Barnes, and he's the lieutenant governor of Wisconsin, as you know. And I just saw here on Fox News a poll Approximately 50% of likely Wisconsin voters are supporting Senator Ron Johnson. But, however, right on Johnson's heel is Lieutenant Governor Mandel Barnes with 49% likely voters, according to a new batch of CNN polls conducted by SSRS. But that's too close to call, and maybe Obama can put him over the top because again, I always say this, Ogma, we outnumber them, and we need to engage our young ones and our old ones and our elders and all our people. And I have a really good feeling that this is going to be a blue tsunami, and I'll tell you why. One of the reasons is that, you know, Michael Moore predicted Trump. He also predicted Biden, and now he's predicting a blue tsunami. He's out, he's boots on the ground. He's talking to people, so I'm excited. We're going to have up next State Representative Heather Keeler, who's in her car. We'll be right back after this short break of Native Roots Radio, Rock the Vote Native Style, and Make Voting a Tradition. That was a mouthful. We'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us. Ho-wa!
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a five-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me, Wen. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
We are living in a critical time for Indian Country. Climate chaos threatens our land, water, and communities. Voting is one way we can protect our planet for future generations. Voting creates a collective power in the fight for our future. Have one-on-one conversations with your friends and family to make sure that they're making informed voting choices. Voting is our voice. This November, NATCI is asking us to stand together and make voting a tradition. Go to makevotingatradition.org to learn more and to make your pledge to vote.
Minnesotans age 65 plus might qualify for Health Partners Minnesota Senior Health Options. The plan includes personal support, coverage for medical prescription drugs and dental, plus over 30 extra benefits. Eligibility information is available at healthpartners.com/oneplan. Health Partners is a health plan that contracts with both Medicare and the Minnesota Medical Assistance Medicaid program to provide benefits of both programs to enrollees. Enrollment in Health Partners depends on contract renewal.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey. Oh.
Hey.
Sorry, I thought I was still on mute.
Welcome. Hey, we had State Representative Heather Keeler on, but I think she's having
signal issues. Yeah.
Hey, what is this portion brought to you by? Let's do a quick howl.
Sure. This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl! Good one, good one. So hopefully we can have State Representative Heather Keeler on. I know she might be having trouble with her signal. Is that you, State? There you are. Barely see it. There you were. There you are.
I'm here.
Hello, Heather.
Okay.
Hey, how's it going, Heather?
Good. I mean, this is a reality, I guess. We're out door knocking. It's funny, right? I'm in my car and it gets real dark real fast. But you know, we're 2 weeks away from election, and so that means that we're working extremely hard. So I guess today you get me from the car.
Right on. It's great to see you, and you know, stay safe out there. We just had a really great show, and I'm so happy you could stop in. It's so important that we get out and vote and we have a plan. And I know you talk about that, and a lot of people talk about having a plan. You know, like Wendy and I are going to go vote Friday. That's our plan. And then we'll be able to help other people vote, and then also to make sure everything's copacetic with where you're voting, because, you know, there's places change and there's all these weird things happening.
Yeah, that is true. You know, one of the things that happens every 10 years is redistricting. We know that from the new lines, but that also can mean that your typical polling place that maybe you've gone to the last couple years is changed. So I tell everybody, just double check your polling location. Help with rides. You know, rides are so important. But also look at your early. You know, I know in my community here, we can vote the Saturday before election at our early vote, at our early polling location. And so just really being prepared and helping other people be prepared is really important. But, you know, Robert, this is a really big election. And I think with the Supreme Court and them coming after our children through ICWA standards and sovereignty, like I really, it's terrifying. And I tell everybody, like, it's one thing to engage yourself. It's another thing to bring 4, 7, 8 people with you, because we are in a really detrimental time and we need Indian country to come to the table and really fight, you know, for our next generations, because I believe that we're on the cusp of some major changes that could negatively impact us if we don't decide to show up together in this election.
Absolutely. And we've been talking about that, and it's frightening. You know, as a Native American, we've been able to vote for less than 100 years, and we need to engage in this. Or again, you know, Nancy Bolio was on earlier, and we talk about we're either at the table or we're being served at the table. So or what's being served at the table. And I truly believe that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, like, there's policies every day. Like, people think we're kidding. You know, there's policies every day that are designed to continue to exterminate us. You know, it's genocide through policy over and over and over and over. And so as much as I hear, you know, some of our Indigenous communities say, well, like, we don't vote because we don't get involved in that white man's politics or the government this, like, the truth of the matter is, like, the government is making decisions about us with or without us at the table. And so, like, really challenge your candidates to ask them, like, you know, how are they going to stand up for sovereignty? What areas are they going to educate themselves on when it comes to ICWA? How are they going to follow suit with the Indigenous leaders that are at these tables? Because we know we're growing, you know, we're becoming educated on different levels. We're showing up at tables. We're unapologetically Indigenous in these spaces, and it's extremely powerful. And so ask your candidates, challenge them, you know, hold them accountable throughout their time of service, because, we're really going to need, you know, outside allyship to protect sovereignty at this point in time.
Absolutely. And I was down for the first Native American presidential forum, and I asked every presidential candidate that was there. I just said, I have two words, and it's Leonard Peltier. And that's a great example. You know, I'll be seeing Obama this Saturday in support of Barnes in Milwaukee, and I'm going to get a picture, and I'm going to have free Leonard Peltier on my lapel, and talk to Obama for as long as I can, and ask him to have his friend release Leonard. It's been long enough, and we could go on and on about that, but that's what you're talking about. We have to be in front in order to be recognized. And that's why it's important that you get reelected, all the great work that you've done. We have a lieutenant governor who's the highest Native American voted person around the country. And that does matter. It really, really, really does matter, as you say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I say all the time, you know, it's one thing to do the offense to get things through that we really, you know, want to grow and thrive and protect. But it's actually a bigger game of defense, you know, trying to make sure that we have all eyes on some of these policies. And we have over 4,000 to 5,000 House bills each year that people write. And so, you know, a lot of people ask, like, well, what can we do to help? You know, there's obviously, like, vote, get involved. But outside of that, you know, like, get involved in following House files, know how to look up new bills and read through them, because it has been really helpful. You know, I'm one person. I have one set of eyes. It's hard to manage everything. But if the community can help watch, you know, and see what policies are coming through that are intended to be harmful for us, to give us heads up so we can play defense on that too. That is a way that the community can engage in helping us protect, you know, our children, our sovereignty, our land, our water, our rights. And so I do think that, you know, politics is a team sport. And when we really care about people, we have to like play our role in that. And, you know, telling us as legislators, we need to do better. I agree with that, but I kind of put it back on the community, like, then help me do better. You know, I'm one person. So yelling at me to do better is one thing, but, you know, to engage in this process and help all of us have our eyes wide open to what's trying to happen. And let's be really strategic on how to rebraid what these policies are to protect us rather than destroy us.
Wow. 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 Great points. And having support, and, you know, we feel like we've really are a big cheerleader for you, and it's important that we come at you in a good way. So that's amazing. All the good stuff I hear about you, and unsolicited comments that I hear from people that work with you. You're doing the right thing, and I just want to say that, and I appreciate that. We got a couple more minutes. How can we support you, and how can we help you knock on doors? What's happening up there? Give us a – because there's a lot of places like here in the Twin Cities that's a safe zone. We should take a caravan up and help you, right?
Well, and here's the thing. Like, I need a team, Robert. You know, we need to get an entire team to the table. And so, you know, it's more than just me. You know, for me to do the work that I want to do, I have to have a really solid team in the House, in the Senate. You know, Senator Kunesh needs a good team over there. And so it's really like, look around in your own community and help the candidates there get across the finish line. Because at the end of the day, like, you can donate money to my campaign. You know, I'm definitely never going to turn that away. But at the end of the day, engaging in your own community so that we have a powerful team, so that we can do the work that we want to do, is actually like where we are now. You know, we're 2 weeks away, offer rides, figure out how you can engage in your community, get to some of the populations that maybe aren't used to voting, or it's, you know, not something that's really top of mind. And I think we just need to engage statewide, regionally, nationally. And so at this point, it's really figuring out who are your candidates in your area, in your region, and investing and helping them get to the table so we have a good team.
Wow, perfect. Hey, we got less than a minute. We're here with Minnesota State Representative Heather Keeler. Any final words here? I'm going to give you the floor for 30 seconds here. Oh, wow.
I think that we need to continue to remember to lead with love in this time. Things get really toxic. You know, we see bully tactics all the time, attack ads, and it gets really difficult, and it gets easy to just bash the other people. And at the end of the day, we have to remember that our character matters. And so leading with love, and always choosing to lift people up instead of tear people apart, is actually how we lead and we show our next generation what it means to be leaders of character.
Wow, Pini Gigi, thank you for stopping in, and we'll be talking to you real soon. That's State Representative Heather Keeler. See everybody tomorrow. We're still here. We are the seventh generation. Free Leonard Peltier now. Yeah.